by ringing the bell. So he got himself up on the mantelpiece at our Jolly Jack Squirrel, put his knee on that bracket, the impression still there in the dust, and cut the cord. This end, he was cunning enough to fray with his knife.
Why are you here unannounced, Mr. Holmes?
Because I have one or two more questions for you and your mistress, Teresa.
I won't have her vexed with more questions.
Well, then perhaps you can answer them for us. For instance, this mark on the seat of the chair in which Lady Brackenstall was tied. What is it?
Blood, I suppose. There was plenty of it.
But your mistress was already in the chair when the murder was done. Not so.
Well, there was a lot of blood.
Indeed. And your memory of detail may be confused, the ghastly figure on the floor, your mistress's distress.
Yes, screaming enough to drive anyone out of their wits. Not that Miss Mary ever wanted courage.
Nursed her since she was a baby, have you not?
Yes.
And you came with her to England?
That's right. I'll never leave her.
Your first voyage, was it? From Adelaide to London in June last year.
That is correct, Mr. Holmes. But is it proper you should again cross-examine my maid without my knowledge?
We're sorry to inconvenience you again, Lady Brackenstall.
Lady Brackenstall, I'm convinced you're a much-tried woman, and my desire is to make things easy for you.
Really? This is hardly the tone to make things easy.
My tone may soften if you tell me the truth, Holmes.
How dare he? I have told you everything.
No. That won't do. You may have heard of any little reputation which I possess. I would stake it all on the fact that your story is an absolute fabrication.
Listen to him. Impudence.
Well, the truth.
I have told you all I know. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll see that the carriage is brought round for you.
As you wish. Come, Watson, we'll wait outside.
Holmes, that was... It was
an attempt to elicit the truth.
But to talk in that manner to a lady like that...
I'd hope to shock her into confession.
Confession?
It didn't work. Oh, no matter. There are other ways.
Are we going back to London now?
Yes.
Then why do we have to wait out here? It's freezing.
I want you one more look at that swan.
Why the sudden interest in ornithology?
You see, the pond is frozen over.
Yes, so am I.
The hole's been broken in the ice for the convenience of that solitary bird.
And? You see no other possible convenience?
Nope. Well, perhaps Inspector Hopkins will see more. I'll write him a note about it. Ah, here's the carriage. Come along.
And so, once again, we attempted the journey to London. This time, we completed it. I said next to nothing on the way, while Holmes expounded theories and threw out speculations, few of which seemed to me to have anything to do with the case in hand. When we finally reached Baker Street, I was exhausted, weighed down by an indefinable foreboding and something like sorrow. I retired early, but my dreams that night were vivid, insistent, ghastly.
You're no ordinary woman.
Pretty precious.
You are kind, very
your
kind.
Your hair is long, rich gold.
Poetic, that is.
And mine, pretty precious.
Beeswing, Watson. Beeswing.
Tied to a man like this.
Sailor's knot.
Day and night.
See my white teeth grinning from my black beard.
Strong as a lion, 6'3" and nimble.
All honey, then.
Monstrous.
Such limited plunder.
Dress all spotty. Sacrilege.
Pretty precious, just pour a drop of this and more drops. All over what?
Wickedness.
As always.
Wickedness.
All lovely and long.
Wickedness.
Wet. Now.
Wickedness.
What?
Wickedness.
Wickedness.
Oh, good God. Holmes. I spent much of the next morning in a cab, driving from place to place across London, sometimes beside a silently concentrating Holmes, sometimes by myself, while he made hurried visits to various offices. Among them was the shipping office of the Adelaide Southampton line at the end of Pall Mall. Holmes emerged from there with sprightly step and a smile of satisfaction. But that smile had faded by the time we reached Scotland Yard. And so I came to be sitting next to a withdrawn and troubled Holmes, his hat drawn down, his collar turned up, as he wondered aloud as to whether the foremost detective in England should conceal vital evidence from the police.
Well, Holmes,
No.